100 Word Stories. Welcome to the 100 Word Stories podcast. I'm your host, Lawrence Simon. I swore an oath to write a 100 word story every day until the day I die. It's right there on the domain name. Well, I'm not dead yet, and neither are you. Let's share and write and do things. Oh, because today is Sunday, which means it's your turn. I call this crazy thing the weekly challenge, where I post a topic and you come up with the story. The topic this week was bird. Tweet, 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 tweet. What, you want some birds? No, you can't have no birds. We've got a lot of stories this week, so let's go ahead and get right to it. First up, we have Claire from, well, she'll say, I hope, because I always say, record your story and any shameless plugs. Well, let's see if there are any in here. I hope. I mean, you could also be very proud of the plugs if you want to. I mean, that's totally your choice. But she's got several stories here, and let's go ahead and welcome her to the fun. You have to say it just like that.
The last bird to leave was on schedule. We climbed aboard and flew out of the area. The water was rising, and rising fast. The old guy that lived nearby built a very big wooden ship, and he loaded his family and pets on it. As we flew over, we waved and gave him a shout with a bullhorn. We could see that the deck of the ship was already covered with animal crap, and his wife was busy cleaning and scrubbing, frantically. It would be a while until the water receded, but Noah was determined to ride it out. The other kids called him a pinhead, dweeb, and bird brain. Eddie was different. He kept to himself, and only communicated with a couple of other kids and his teachers. He could not communicate with most people because they couldn't understand him, and he would launch into diatribes about things so intricate and multifaceted, they would be puzzled and confused, so they gave up and walked away. Eddie went on to form a social media company that became an instant hit, owing to the use of free subscriptions and total anonymity, guaranteed in writing and backed with a bond. The Church of the Gooey Death and Discount House of Worship had an ornate motto over the portico. Carved into the granite, the words "May the bluebird of happiness crap in your birthday pie." The parishioners, for the most part, were a group of acerbic hipsters. Their average age, 25. They were white-collar workers, and made good money. They came together to form the church so they could dodge taxes and have a quiet building where they could burn doobies before Sunday fixie rides and rollerblading. They gave themselves unusual monikers, and outdid each other with their church regalia.
Thank you, Claire, and welcome to the show, and how do I join the church? Although I don't smoke or eat brownies. Well, I do eat brownies, but whatever's in them, I'm not aware of it. If you put a little something in there, I'm not going to say, like, oh, no, you have to take that out. You know, like you can take something out of a brownie. Although you probably could. That could be a Dr. Odd story. That would be kind of fun. I've already done one with Dr. Odd with that's how the cookie crumbles, and then he has to figure out, well, how exactly does the cookie crumbles? And the spin is, well, look it up in the Dr. Odd category. That's in the sidebar of the new site. It's all in there. See? That's how you do a shameless plug. Let's go ahead and move on to the next story, which is by Rick out there in Fort Myers. Apparently a fort made out of Myers. So let's see. Where. Okay, he's over here. He sat in the shade, watching a bird patiently wait for someone to toss a fry out the window. The company takes 30 minutes for lunch, whether you use it or not. Unfortunately, the 2 burgers, 1 soda, and most of a large order of fries was gone in about 4 minutes. Inspiration struck. For the 20 minutes, he tied French fries to a long piece of twine, tossed the fries to where the bird could see them. The bird repeatedly swooped in, grabbed them, and tried to fly away. Sky fishing! Another attraction for the carnival of the easily amused. Cool! That's a neat idea, Rick. I should try it once. Actually, I do tend to... Well, I should not be eating fries. I should not be eating fries, though. I'm sick enough as it is. And to switch back to the old diet for a while there, and then, of course, you know, fell off the wagon, and now I'm like, gotta get back into it. And it's not some kind of resolution, either. No, we don't do that. We don't do that stupid kind of resolution crap. No, if we want to do something, we do it, man. You know? Okay, let's just set up the next story here. It's, we've got somebody new here. We've got another person new. What is it called? Empire Avenue? This Empire Avenue, lots of folks coming on in, you know, joining up and, giving this writing thing a shot, trying something other than pointy-clicky, you know? Expand your horizons. There. Make them real wide. Oh, no, they're too wide. Now you need a super wide-angle lens. I think TJ hasn't unpacked those yet. Continue? Yeah, all right. So here is Detlev's story. Welcome to the show. Bird is what my Australian friends say to a nice girl. And Bird is as well a movie by Clint Eastwood about the troubled life and career of a jazz musician, Charlie Bird Parker. We all know birds in the garden, but in Hamburg, the bird is New York-style bar and kitchen, where they believe in serving the finest burgers and steaks possible by using all fresh, no, not birds. The Bird Project aims to develop a fully functional dynamic IP routing daemon, primarily targeted on Linux. So birds are all over with many different feathers. Thank you, Detlev. That was a fun one to read. I was like, and now some more things about birds. Now I want to check out that restaurant. Instead, I'm going to end up... You know, I'm not drinking coffee today. Orange juice. Oh, man. No, I don't have the killer flu. I already went through that. It was just... I think it was right after I broke my arm. I may have been patient zero. You know, they stuck me in the hospital. I got all the super crud attacking me. And even worse... You know, now I have another form from the insurance company. We need to see proof of your continuing coverage. Even though you're covered under us, we need to see the terms of the continuing coverage in order to find an excuse of not covering you for this and that and... God. I'm so sick of all this crap. We were going to buy a house, you know? Now, it's like, who knows? At any moment, it's like, nope, we need to take all your money. The opposite of, take all my money, please! We're going to live in this place forever. Okay, speaking of living in this place forever, the man that is synonymous with this podcast is Tom. You know he's here. He loves you. He counts you. He arranges you in interesting columns. Well, let's see. Does he have updates? I don't know. Let's find out. So here's Tom.
Hello, Tom here, and I've got updates. We have 4,978 stories and an amazing 14.1 story average. In the top 30, we have 16 active authors, 50%. In the top 10, 60%. And oddly, in the top 20, 70%. Amazing number of active authors. A movement. Jeffrey passes Fricker into the 33rd position with 30 stories. He's just one outside of the top 30. Serendipity Haven passes Andrew, thus entering the lair of the golden monkeys. Sing moves past Tura with 67 stories. Next week, he'll probably leap over Jeffrey of Greater Heights. I'm glad that Justin's back. Way cool, he's got 127 stories. And a special note, your humble scribe has just passed Guy David with 125 weeks of stories. So now I have the third and fourth highest run, or the fourth and third highest run. In a little less than a half a year, I will pass myself.
Okay, hold on. I got to do this and carry the two. So adding Serendipity Haven to the Golden Monkeys. All right, got it. Whew, man, sometimes this stuff can be real confusing. Oh, right, he has stories too. Hold on.
Hello, night people. Tom here, and tonight's story is called Cloud Cuckoo Land. Palente. Nope. Gentle? Oh, please, not again. Okay, Jeb. Have you seen the daughter's rap sheet? In a cigar smoke-filled room, a small circle of men fell silent. What the fuck was Christy thinking? They checked the cue board. Under 5% for the Senate? The Congress, the general staff, and the right media. What about Fortune 500? All 9%ers. So we might as well run a dancing bear? Funny you should say that. We do have someone with a 99% Q, strong showing with women, liked across all ethnic and racial groups, on paper, a promising candidate. Angry Bird Red. Second story, teacher's pet. When I was in the third grade, our teacher was moving to a new city. She sadly wasn't able to take her pets with. She had a writing contest to see who would be their new caretakers. I wrote about my grandmother's parakeet, how it would sit on her shoulder when she called. I wrote, if I had a parakeet, I would let him sit on my shoulder. Take good care of Frank, said my teacher, handing me the cage. Not only did I teach him to sit on my shoulder, I taught him how to peck open a carotid artery.
Carotid artery? You were the one who sent that bird after me. We're gonna talk. But until then, thank you. And it's good to hear about the woo and the this and the that. And I've played Angry Birds a little bit, but I wouldn't call it playing Angry Birds. I downloaded You Don't Know Jack, and I played a few times, and it's like, oh, whatever. I promised myself I was going to take a You Don't Know Jack break every day. Instead, I wound up with a Kit Kat break and, you know, fat again. Although, that Cost Plus World Market, they have all the foreign Kit Kats. They have orange, they have mint, they have caramel, and I can't remember the other flavor. I don't know, maybe Crunchy Frog, I'm not sure. But they're all out, they have all these different flavors around the world. It's not raspberry, I know that. See, they have interesting Kit Kat flavors around the world. Here it says Kit Kat flavored. Stupid. Don't we like exciting things here? No. Bland stuff. Boring. You have to import our own amazing stuff. I know. It's all like Cadbury or something. I don't understand. One thing I do understand is that Derry McMahon is here with the story. Yeah, she's here. She brought one. Of course, because Bird, you know what Bird suggests? Well, you'll find out. Let me just hit play here.
Bird! I want that bird! Give me that bird! It is plump. There's a lot of meat on that bird. That bird would be delicious, eaten raw, right here, right now. Or that bird could be best grilled and lightly sauced, served on fine china. I pace back and forth, watching the bird, waiting for the right position, the right trajectory. I'll need just the right angle to grab that bird. Here we go! I launch! I reach! I slam into the picture window. Alas, there will be no bird for me. Only a can of processed cat food. Sigh. And that was Bird by Chicory McMahon.
Thank you, Derry, and thank you, Chicory. Oh, wait, while I'm talking, oh, we got a special guest. What, you want to talk? You want to talk? You want to talk to the... No? Okay, thank you for the butt. Oh, Rowan looked up like, ooh, ooh, I want to say something. And he jumps up here and just stares at me. No, you are not as talkative as your old grandpa. You're not. But he taught you to sit on laundry. Both of them. Both of them were on the laundry. Gene was like, grab him. So I grabbed him, and he was like, no, no, I must get on that pile. So that's what the photo of the week is. Yep, you are being such a goofball. You want me to pet your tummy? No? You don't want me to pet your tummy? Okay. Probably flop over 2 seconds. let's see. Carmsey Melody is here. She's got us. Oh, hold on. Oops. And she needed... Oh. All right. That needs to be... Okay. All right. So, Carmsey Melody is here. And I'm going to go ahead and get her story in right now. He arrived one spring, my bird. It was his song, I noticed. He wasn't a cheapy, chirpy bird. His song was melodic, beautiful, magical, like an exotic scent. It filled the air, sweeping me away to places warm and distant. While his lullaby crooned the sun to sleep, I looked for my bird. I had to see him, but safe in his leafy haven, he hid. He was shy. Then, one windchill dusk, daubed with colored leaves, there was silence. My ears ached desperately with seeking, but he'd gone. I still wonder what he looked like, my bird. Thank you, Carmsey. That was beautiful.
Oh, never see your bird again. Never wondering what it looked like. It
could look like Big Bird tromping around and crushing people underfoot. Yellow bastard. Murderer. Mitt Romney was right. Need to be stopped. Oh, sorry. Yeah, you've seen his photo up at the post office. He's wanted. Mass murder? What's the difference between a mass murderer and a serial killer? I mean, time, right? I don't know. Maybe we can do some experiments. Isn't that right, Boo? Yes, you are a mass murderer of lizards. Although it's really Mist that catches the lizard. She's the better hunter. He's just a big goofball. Yes, you are, and I got your tail. Speaking of having your tail, how about Jeffrey Fisher? Let's check out his tail. Jeffrey, let's see it.
Greetings, it's Jeffrey Fisher here, back for another week of the 100 Word Stories Weekly Challenge. Today's story on the topic of bird is entitled Civil Disobedience. We arranged to protest federal funding for the immensely profitable Sesame Street characters. As the tallest, I dressed as Big Bird. We also had an Oscar, a Bert, or Ernie, as I can't keep them straight, and there's two old guys from the opera. An old hippie wandered by wearing a tattered Celtics number 33 jersey. He said something about Sesame Street being our street, so Oscar yelled back, "Get a job, you bird brain." The hippie kept walking, flipping us the bird as he left. After an hour, we went home. A little birdie told us the suits at PBS were parroting to the police the corporate line about trademark infringements, and an arrest was imminent. I ditched the costume and walked off, free as, well, you know.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Ooh, wait. Oh, yes, I've got a rejection letter from Drabblecast. I sent one in that I knew was going to get rejected. It was a twisted Sound of Music variant, but I had to send it just to annoy them. Get another story from Muncie, otherwise known as Chris Monroe. Now his get in a Drabblecast. It's cool that they're pulling from the Dribblecast. I keep saying that I ought to post more over to their forums and let them produce them, but I just... How do you know which ones are any good? None of them, of course. That's why I keep writing them.
To eventually write one that doesn't suck.
I know someone who writes ones that don't suck ever, and that's Muncie.
Greetings, little birds. Muncie here with a kebab for you. And by kebab, I mean story. On a stick. So let's get sticking. Birds. By Christopher Monroe. I want to make a movie. Specifically, a Hitchcock movie from 1963. I want to do a shot-for-shot remake of The Birds, set in the modern day, with a cast of contemporary actors who will be forced to behave as though they were the actors in the original film. The only difference will be the birds themselves, who will be computer-animated representations based on the popular video game Angry Birds. The film will be in 3D. Search your heart. You know this to be true. This is not a dumber idea than half the reboots that came out last year. Flash fiction at ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com. Tweets at Munzee Munzee. Broken Escalator still available in ebook and audiobook. Now, if you'll excuse me, in the minute and a half it took me to record this story, I optioned my The Birds reboot to Michael Bay.
Michael Bay? Oh, how could you? That orange juice will keep me awake. No, it doesn't have any caffeine in it. Thank you, Muncie. Michael Bay. That's just wrong, man. I know someone who isn't wrong. That's Kirill, of Musings of a Mad Macedonian. How mad is he? You judge for yourself. I am a bird, a pigeon, to be specific, president of the Pigeon Anti-Defamation League Long Beach Chapter, an organization created to fight for the rights of pigeons to do our thing unmolested and not made fun of. We demand the same unfettered access to public spaces that other critters have. We also take issue with certain businesses who refuse us access, discriminating against pigeons and other birds in their business model. However, pigeons being pigeons, getting them to focus during a meeting can be difficult, especially if there is food around. Organizing a mass protest march is near impossible. How was that? Did that do it? Okay, cool. Thank you, Kirill. And we got Boo back up here on the side. He just jumps up here, sits for a bit. I pet his butt. Yeah, you'd like to have your kitty butt pet. There's a chart going around of zones on a cat. You know, the cat petting chart. Except the die one on the tummy. Bruin likes that. He loves to have his tummy rubbed. Unlike other cats. You know, early on he was just like, oh yeah, tummy rub, tummy rub. And you can pet his head. He doesn't mind. In the boy, in the back. He's pretty much an all-around, I like to be pet cat. I'm glad, I should probably post a video of Guide to Petting a Cat. Probably end up looking like the Geek Engineers. Cat yodeling is funny. The next story? Sure. Zach Mann has a story for us. Just one. Doesn't have, like, two or three or 75. Although 75 best. No. So here he is. Zach Mann.
Bird fancier. Har! When your uncle says he dates birds, he means women. When he says he breeds pigeons, that means he raises pigeons, matchmaking for them. The father says, winking. Your uncle lived in UK for a long time, so he don't speak good English no more. Would you like your own pigeon? Says Uncle Boy, about to give him the bird. No, sir. I want a rock. Rocks can be dirty, angry birds. If your rock upsets your mother, we'll have to eat rock adobo like for every night until you go to college.
Thank you, Zach Man. I never knew that about birds. I now know too much. I'm the man who knew too much. Maybe that's what the man who knew too much knew. He knew too much about birds. And then they had to go after him and make a movie and... several movies, actually. Did they remake that remake? And then Michael Bay jumped in and... I don't know. Hello, boo. He still has his taxi cab collar. I am too lazy to buy him another Halloween collar that says boo on it. Because I suck. And we need to get you your shots. Yeah. When you get your shots, we're going to get you a shot of tequila. Yeah, because that makes you crazy. Tequila makes your clothes fall off. Well, guess what? You just have a collar. You need a new collar. Yeah, I know. That one doesn't suit you. Look like a taxi cab. Right. Another story? Sure. Lizzie Goodcough is here. And she's gotten out of the habit of saying, visit me here, visit me there. No, go to her site. And then it's all along the side. And all the links to all the people who sent in links, as opposed to all the links to the people who did not send in links, they're in the show notes. Check them out. Click on them. Share them. Learn from them. They can teach you.
Hello, everyone. This is my story for the week. When they got to the gas station, Bert had an idea. And ideas do tend to be dangerous. Especially coming from Bert. Let's rob this joint. At first, the other ones laughed. They were just going for a ride. Then, Ian changed his mind, and in a matter of minutes, all agreed it was brilliant. Rob grabbed a stick from the crates lying about. Dave slid his cap backwards. They were ready. They walked in, they screamed, threatened, took the money. They got famous. Their name was Fierce, B-I-R-D, Bird. Oh, they got famous, all right, in jail, and it wasn't pretty. All right, this was my story for the week. Drop by my blog at lizziegoodcough.blogspot.com to check what I've been writing lately. And you can also get in touch with me through Twitter. My name there is Lizzie Goodcough as well. I do have a Facebook page, but I don't update it that often. I'll have to change it and update it. And I write for iRes.com. Drop by that blog because it's a great place. They have fantastic writers writing there, very interesting topics. And that's it. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lizzie. I'm just Shinigami Kaio posted up a post saying, and I've beaten him at Words with Friends multiple times. Well, yeah, I can't win them all. Unless I'm playing against Julie, then that's easy. I mean, come on. Nah. Why don't you go hug a ragdoll? No, even Stephen Baker finally beat me. If you think that you can crush me underfoot like Big Bird crushes small children, why don't you give me a challenge at Words with Friends? Username of Is Full of Crap, or through Facebook, even though I've probably blocked and banned and hidden from everybody out there. But just toss me a message and just say, please, oh please, let me see you so I can zinga you. Wasn't that the word that they used in that Ringo Starr caveman movie? No, wait, that was Zug. No, wait, Zug. No, you had to have two Zugs. Because if you only said one Zug, well, never mind. Let's see, who else? Who else is joining us in our lovely little party? Oh, Serendipity's finally here. Oh, Serendipity is a really funny topic for next week, but no. No, because it would be like, I don't want to limit people, but then some of the limiting ones can be really expansive. But if she writes on next week's topic using that, it'll be a fun story. So that's a personal challenge to you, Serendipity. All right. I think I've done every topic so far. Maybe we should... what I really need to do is focus on words that are what are they? Oh yeah, in that William Shatner app. That way I can have William Shatner join us. You know? Up, Joe Biden has been sworn into office and his hand was on the stove. Oh, right. Here's Serendipity.
As I love technology, I'm not one to fall for the latest fad or the current trending app. I'm no spring chicken, and unlike the younger generation who take to such things like a duck to water, I'm a bit of a goose at adapting to change. Let's talk turkey. I don't understand Twitter and tweets cannot play Angry Birds, and Phoenix Viewer just ruffles my feathers. Much as I'd like to spread my wings, it's a chicken and egg situation, where my best efforts are a complete albatross. My learning days are long gone, dead as a dodo.
Thank you, Serendipity. Hold on. That Chateau Atri, it's so silly. Right. It's at chateauatri.com. If you're into Second Life, in the expansion words pack, Second and Life. So you can have some fun with that. And you could have done something with the word bird. Not anymore, because, you know, the challenges are... But if you've been playing around with it... let's say that you've got a story... And it's going to take me an extra day. Well, send it in anyway. I'll put it up on the feed. I don't mind. As long as you record it. If you're sending in a story late and like, oh, I'm late and I'm going to make you record it. No. Only ones that you've recorded I'm going to accept after the bell. Okay? So, I mean, I got to rest at some point, right? Let's keep going here, and that one was Tom Sawyer. See, he sends in the text, and then he sends in the audio files. The next one is Bonchance and Sevi. They've got two with that little doggy. So, here's their stories.
Crab Mariner's 100-word challenge. This week's challenge word is... These are collaborative works between Severina Halostar, Bonchance Longfall, based on the word bird. Mr. Cinnamon, with his bright yellow coat and sprinkles of brownish red, fell off his perch at birth, then nursed back to health by a loving boy. He was the strongest singer of the flock, with the most beautiful trill that soared through air. As day entered, he would burst into song to greet the day and his loving companion. The boy's heart and soul would take flight with the gift of song. One morning, the boy found him at the bottom of the cage. He and Daybreak mourned the loss of his song from a most precious bird. Peppy had a plan. He needed to buff up and decided to try that fad bird diet. He would be the sexiest mutt in town and just engaging the priceless fowl, he went to pawn the first golden egg. Peppy came home from the gym. Ma and Pops were madly searching the house. The goose is loose, Pablo bellowed. We need to find the goose. Peppy stealthily removed the white goose feather from the fur on his chin and joined the search.
Pepe, you are such a rascal. Thank you, Bonchance and Sevi, for sharing that magical moment with us. Oh, wait, I'm getting IMs. Nope, never mind. I'm supposed to be producing show. You are just going to sit there and be a lump, aren't you? I'll just put on you. You like, whatever. You like to, yeah, you like to listen. You should be snuggled up with your mommy. Yeah, when she hugs on you, she has good dreams. She has dreams of hugging on a cat, which are kind of self-referential. Ooh, drink your orange juice. And eat your roll. Russell Brand sucks. Oh, speaking of someone who is wonderful and good stories, Tura Bregianu. I can't come up with a better intro than that. I think I've used up all my intros after 350 some odd weeks of these. How do people do it? You know, how do folks that are actually paid to come up with this crap do it? I don't know. Oh, wait, they have teams of writers. Ooh, I'm a writer? No, I'm not going to move to New York or Los Angeles. Yuck, no, I'm going to be right here. Don't want to beg, I want to enjoy. It's what life is all about. Oh, it's the most wonderful city in the world, better than that other one. That's all they are. Here, we're just us. And Tura is Tura.
The urge impels me out onto the air, then up, up to the sky. I circle until it says, this way, then on, on across the rocky desert. Lizards scurry below, but I am not hunting them. The destination approaches, and I exult as the prey lights up in my vision, then diving down, down, until... 30 miles away, a soldier shakily took his bionic helmet off, and placed it in his lap. You got him, said his supervisor. First time, right? You'll get used to it. He placed a finger to his lips and winked. But it's always good.
When exactly does the hunter become the hunted? Well, halftime, of course. Oh, thank you, Tura. Thank you, kitty cat. Damn, you're just gonna sleep there all day, aren't you? Until football comes on. Because you're fuzzy football. No, we're actually going to go out for lunch. Yeah, which means she's probably going to wake up at 4 and go, oh, dude. And it's like, oh, come on. Isn't that life? Yeah, it is. Let's see. Oh, Cliff. I see Cliff's story got sent in, and I'm not going to overlook it. I'm taking my time this week. With every story, what I'm doing is I'm copying the text, putting it in the post, and then I'm making sure the links are right. If they're an SL or I put them in my little SL announcements text pad or whatever. Notepad, not text pad. This is a Windows, not a Mac. I use a Mac at work, and they're getting me a MacBook Pro, which apparently is like, oh my god, the MacBook Pro, it is so awesome. And I'm like, okay. And the Retina display, oh, it's so incredible. All right, but I'm plugging it into two external monitors. Does that affect? But it's amazing. Yeah, but still, oh. I don't understand. Because when I'm at my desk, I'm going to be plugged into the monitors. And when I'm out and about occasionally, like in meetings and such, I can ignore the meeting and just keep doing my work, right? I don't know. Well, here's Cliff. I'm sorry for forgetting your story in the main feed, but I put it in the, see, in the after party, in the after the bell thing. See, that's what it's for when I screw up Or if you take too late, but as long as there's a recording, it's fine. I can't believe they want me to send that. You know, they want a response, and then they want me to mail back something, but they didn't include an envelope. Fuckers.
We were working in the yard when I noticed an odd pile of feathers near some bushes. When the feathers moved, I realized it wasn't a pile. It was a hawk. He'd been sitting there, calmly watching us string Christmas lights around a tree. I decided to get as close as I could. The bird was staring into our side yard, and as I looked around the corner, I saw a cat staring back at the hawk. Which was predator and which prey? I left them to work it out for themselves, and I went back to decorating.
Cool. Oh, and I'm going to totally put that cat photo. That's going to be the cat photo of the week. That's right, folks. If you send cat photos and they're large enough to actually fill the site. Hold on. No, that is a word. Why are you giving me red squigglies? Silly thing. But sorry about forgetting you in the main feed. Hopefully folks are happy now. Sorry. I feel so stupid. But if you send a photo of a cat, maybe we could have just a bunch of cats and then forget about this whole stories crap. You know, oh wait, I've already done that. It's called Carnival of the Cats. One thing leads to another. Speaking of one thing leading to another, Tammy, we've met on Empire Avenue. She's a freelance writer and invites writers to follow Tammy Kibler on Twitter for writing and online marketing tips so we can learn something from her. And she's not a spammer. I've looked. Not a spammer. So she's looking and she's trying again. That's right. She is getting the not a spammer seal of approval. Because I know that Empire Avenue, there can be just like, oh, I'm going to get you in there. And then, oh, my links. No. She actually has some good advice. I don't follow anybody's advice. Sign here and you'll make $1 million. No. Agents. Ugh. Ooh, this one's going to be cool. Hold on, I need to set up. See what I do is I... If they have a word for that, copy and... Okay, I need to warm up. Me. I want to make sure I do this right. Otherwise, she's going to give writing advice of, don't join the weekly challenge. They just mess your story up. No. I hope your advice is, got nothing better to do. Try it. That's the best endorsement I can hope for. Stockholm Syndrome by Tammy. He croons in my ear, soothing sounds late at night. I cluck my tongue back at him. We understand each other. Sometimes he is noisy, and I cover the cage with a blanket and put it in a closet out of sight and mind. I may have forgotten him there for several days, once or twice. When I remember, I bring the cage out into the light. I change the seed cup, the water dish, and the paper lining. After he has eaten, he flies out the open door to my shoulder. He croons, I cluck. He forgives me. Thank you, Tammy. That was so sweet. Although, okay, I don't understand the appeal of having a bird as a pet. I don't. Unless you have a cat, and then I understand the appeal of it. Well, not really as a pet, but what's the word? Oh yeah, a toy. But oh. Where did you go? Bruin just wandered off. I know where he is. Probably on the bed with his mommy, all snuggled up. Mommy, he was saying weird things. He was petting my butt. So, if you'd like to have your butt pet, send me an email. If you're a cat. If you're a cat and you can send me an email, oh, definitely send me an email. Meow, 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 meow. Don't take your cat and mash them against the... That's mean. It'll probably break the keyboard, too. Lola. Oh, what's Lola up to now? I always worry about her. Who knows what she's up to? I'm always terrified. See, I don't want to put topics in there that might get Lola hurt or sad or whatever, but she always finds a way. Hopefully she's happy this week. Red Goddess, what now? Please, we need to know. Monday is the worst working day. Lola is back to the daily grind at the hotel. Holiday festivities and romantic getaways with her lover are replaced by sore feet and demanding guests. She misses waking up to bird songs and sweet air instead of city traffic. It's time to reinvent herself, focus on paying down debts, and aim her sights at a promotion. Work she can handle like a trained magician, but it's not management, unless you are paid appropriately. No matter how hard she works, she knows it won't protect her from disappointments, but she needs more from life. Oh, Lola, when will you ever win? Thank you, Red Goddess. Once I was management, I didn't like it. But I think it had to do more with the company, the place I was at. I don't know. Am I ready again? Maybe in a few years, I don't know. When I'm too old to actually do any work. Although, managers do work. The meetings are actually work. And they have to keep things organized and keep people motivated and get people the resources they need without having enough in their budgets. I don't know. Maybe I should just sell off the rights to the stories and keep writing and grovel around, wander the streets of, oh, it doesn't matter, New York, Los Angeles, wherever. Maybe even Stockholm. I hear they have a syndrome there. I'm not sure. Maybe I should just play Norval Joe's story and keep going. Norval Joe, please, give meaning to this.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of the Flying Island Press and of The Price of Friendship Summer Surprise, available at patiobooks.com. Thank you to those who have gone out and listened to my stories. Here's my entry for the weekly challenge number 352, with a prompt of bird. Owen was stunned from his landing on the stone floor of the throne room. Cindy sat on the throne, shaking her head and rolling her eyes. She spoke, but might as well have been a bird chirping for all the noise from the aggressive goblins. The rest of the company took up defensive positions. Elbenor worked at the princess's bonds while Owen cleared his head. He scrambled to join them on the dais. He turned to regard the snarling goblins, who inched hesitantly forward. The slavering goblins rushed, but with a whoosh, the companions found themselves in the tunnel above. I was pretty hard to get along with as a child. I never had any friends, and even my imaginary friends would desert me after only a few visits. Eventually, I got an imaginary wiener dog. We were like kindred spirits, and Hurley remained with me until he died at a ripe old doggy age of 17. He annoyed my mother when he began bringing presents home. A lizard, a bird, even a bunny, their necks broken and their bodies left neatly on the living room floor. Killing the neighbor's Rottweiler was too much. After that, Hurley had to stay outside. Well, I'm sure no one really cares, but this is the last episode of Owen's Quest. I've been using my 100-word stories as a way of generating plot ideas for a novel of the same name. But now that Owen has caught up with his true love and betrothed Cindy, they have less than a week to get back to, I don't know, wherever it is they live, and be pronounced king and queen before everything else goes to crap. So I don't want to spoil the story for anyone who might possibly hear it, 200-word stories. All right. Okay. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Oh, it's okay. Go ahead and post all the spoilers you want. People do listen here sometimes. I mean, the stats say that there's at least 5. Actually, first, thank you, Norval Joe, and I'm looking forward to the ending. I just love the name Elbinor. If I ever had children, I'd name one. The next cat, we could name Elbinor. But the stats, they dropped. Okay, so the first time I moved from movable type to WordPress, they dropped like a stone because all the bots and all the spammers and all that. But the true diehards, the true fans, stuck. And of course, all the people who were, you know, subscribed via their iPods and all that. You know, the feed changed, and I didn't bother doing a 301. Then when I changed from the HostGator site to this new one through work, which, who knows how long I get to keep that if I totally screw up this rollout of docs. It'll be fine. I love where I work. I just hope they love me just as much. I worry all the time. It's going to be okay. You just have to have confidence. That way, when the horrible things happen, they feel horrible. You have to be able to enjoy the good stuff as good. If only I could convince myself of that. One day. Oh, the stats? A few hundred. Just... If you're listening and you want to let Norval Joe know that, one, you've survived 50 minutes into the show, but two, that you care, let him know in the comments. Of course, if you don't let him know in the comments, he's going to feel all bad and stuff and keep the ending for himself and put it in his novel, and you're going to have to buy it for $25 at Walden Books. At the signing, you'll be like smiling. You know, a hardback really isn't all that hard when you compare it to a... I think we've got Sing? Yeah, we've got to get Sing in here. Otherwise, all will go crazy. So, let's see. This is called The Boy Who Would Be Bird. Another epic tale. Now, some of you were like, well, there are 101 stories. Well, take out a word. He does this for luck. I know, he's probably going to start up a podcast called 101 Word Stories, the luckier one, and all of you are going to go there like, he's much nicer to us, isn't as neurotic and weird. Fine, see if I care. Cruel, fickle audience.
The Boy Who Would Be Bird by Chris Mooney Singh. A Bird in the Bush. The road led to green ferns and bushfire black gum trees around the bend. Then, pinging like a submarine sonar began. Or was it little goat bells about to break cover? Instinct put a rock in the boy's hand. He threw straight into the heart of the tree. Freakishly, something yellow dropped to earth. Like a fetch dog, he ran forward, kneeling with intense regret. A bell bird. Dead. His sudden tears could not bring this warm, yellow fellow back to life. Powerless, he felt responsible. He felt the end of innocence and the shock of initiation into a new, squawking, avian life. Caged. From then, birds flew pell-mell across his fate path. They led him into the backyard aviary his father had built before deserting he and his mother one day. The boy stared at lovebirds kissing on their perch, while budgerigars and cockatiels made friends with his head, and finches were orbiting satellites. Comforted, he crouched on his heels as they cracked seed, gargled water, preened, squabbled, and warbled. He imitated their pecking order behavior and copied how they tucked themselves into feathery necks at sunset. During school, he preferred crouching down the back. Not surprisingly, this earned him the nickname of Bird. Bird Years. Bird grew increasingly quiet in school. It worried his teachers. Neither did he mix with his peers sitting apart. Instead of cheering for the school team, he'd stare at Ground Zero sparrows or follow uppity pigeons crash landing on the telephone wires. Everywhere he went, he met and made friends with starlings, pigeons, magpies, or mopokes. He sympathized with caged cocky and sclerotic parrot. He deepened his bird's eye view of things. Closing eyelids, Bird wheeled with the gulls, soared with the sea eagles, travelled through long-distance bird vision to the other side of the cockatoo continent and beyond. Mother Bird. She was deeply concerned about his low scores at school, his withdrawn manner with everyone and herself. She thought this was due to the desertion of her husband. She knew nothing about the death of the bellbird and his totemic bird world. She had not interfered, thinking that he was not out on the streets while out back in the aviary. She even let him bring Braggers, his favourite budgie, into the house on his head or shoulder. But some change was needed, so she sent him to her parents for the holidays on the southwest coast near Perth, Western Australia. The Colony. His grandparents were strangers he met for the first time. Pop had arthritic claw fingers from POW years in German coal mines and ate honey, while Nana had a clandestine relationship with the sherry cupboard. Bird saw, Bird was unmoved. The big reward of the trip was joining the returnee colony of magpies in the backyard. For years, Nana had fed them meat scraps. Now they numbered 157. Remembering extinct moa birds in New Zealand, he made his own feathered cloak and sat down warbling in bird bliss. Pop thought he was autistic, while Nana was a bit bird mad herself. Bird and girls. Puberty arrived. He grew into a wiry adolescent, but had little ambition to go on dates to the movies. Once for a dare, brash Brenda from number 7 sat with him on the curb under the maple. The neighbourhood hid and watched. Her lovebird lips put salty wetness on his cheek as she took his hand to her breast. But he merely replied with coos and clicks, unstirred by her willing passion. Not one to give up, she said.
You're a real weirdo, Bird.
But secretly liked his shyness and was still willing to go all the way. Work shift. Bird left school and got a job at the cannery. It was bean season. Somehow, the metal tins spinning down wire runners worked hypnotically on him, and he turned his head sideways with bird-like puzzlement. He'd always been sensitive to sharp ringing, but had locked away the grail of all sounds, the bellbird's call. One day, he would have to answer to it. Then his mobile rang. It was Brenda.
I'm picking you up after your shift, all right?
Somehow, they had become close. She'd offload her troubles and every latest sexual adventure, her ups and downs. He would listen without judgment. The Tattooist. One day, passing through the arcade, he heard a high-pitched whining coming from a shop. He went in. A tattooist was at work with his electric pencil drawing a dragon around a man's kneecap. With sudden insight, he knew what he had to do. When the dragon man was gone, Bird pointed to the picture in the catalogue of a tall feather with bits of fibre disintegrating as a tiny spiral of inky black ravens. He pointed to his shoulder.
"Take off the shirt,"
said the tattooist. He stenciled on the design, and soon Bird had his first totemic tattoo. The transmogrification. He went weekends for over a year. Brenda helped plan his full body avian transformation. Starting below, the tattooist drew ostrich claws and feathered thighs. His front torso gradually became swirls and spirals of finches, swallows, wagtails, doves, honey eaters, owls, and blue falcons. He had them interwoven around a plum blossom branch, while on the center of his back, the electric gun grew a large tree. At its core was the yellow bellbird, half hidden, with a galaxy of perching fowls around it. The sound of the tattoo gun was the closest he and Brenda got to a sexual thrill. Bird mates.
"This one looks really lovely,"
Brenda said, lying naked on the bed next to him. She was simply more relaxed with a man without her clothes. It hardly mattered to Bird, but he had learned to snuggle and appreciate human warmth. Still, he barely talked. It didn't matter to Brenda. She nattered on enough for both of them. As a sign of her affection, she also wore a red robin tattoo on her back shoulder. She ran her finger lightly over this raw surface of his massive feather shoulders design completed an hour ago.
"Wow, with wings like that, you might actually fly."
The call. The tattoo work done, the inner pinging began. It led he and Brenda to lookouts and tall buildings. The call of the bellbird told him to find the highest pylon on the Sydney Harbour Bridge, take off clothes and offer his bird body to the wind.
"Bird!"
she shouted, but she grabbed too late. Like Icarus falling, he entered the water clean as a blade between a ferry and an ocean liner. His splash was insignificant compared to the churning of those big boats. So ended the odd brief life of the boy who would be Bird, the world none the wiser.
Thank you, Sing, for the epic tale of the boy. Well, he was the boy. He was the boy who would be Bird. But he became a man. A man to be reckoned with. How do you reckon with a man? How do you reckon with a bird? I'm not sure. Or boy would be Bird. I'm confused now. When I'm confused, I just throw it to Planet C.
It feels like I grew up watching Larry Bird and Michael Jordan, but those guys played in my teens and 20s. Still, I cheered for the Dream Team and the ruthless way by which they defeated their opponents. And then there was the Nothing But Net series of commercials for McDonald's, where the two superstars challenged each other to increasingly difficult and absurd shots for a Big Mac and fries. By the time one won, the burger and fries were not just cold, but likely a health hazard. As if the greasy fast food wasn't a health hazard to begin with.
Thank you to everyone who was a part of the weekly challenge this week on the 100 Word Stories podcast. You can go to the website at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com for links to the authors' websites, the text of the stories, an archive of shows, social network sharing options where you can reveal to the world, yes, I did something, and a whole bunch of other stuff that you won't bother with anyway. Until next week, when the topic will be tea. That's T-E-A, but you can just use the first letter. This is Lawrence Simon saying thank you for listening, and as always, keep it brief.